this is Martin Zetter, and I truly believe that in the future, these two shows, without my regular microphone, will become known as the shows with the crappy sound. And I apologize for that, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm lost. I could not bring my equipment here. I'm still in the place where I received a car from a gracious person. This person wishes to remain anonymous, which is why I am at an undisclosed location for another day. But I will be with you in Florida from a disclosed location and an amusing location. I do believe you will be amused. But in the meantime, yes, these will be known as the shows without good sound, because I'm working with a machine that I'm unfamiliar with. I have no equipment. I'm not sure how the sound's coming over. I can't hear it in my earphones. I'm just putting these on because I want to look like I have some semblance of auditory sophistication here, when I know that I really don't. So good luck to all of us as we proceed on a show which I have titled The Image of the Wild Beast. Let us go, if we may, to the unveiling, chapter 13. I left off with you at the end of chapter 8. Now, verse 8, pardon me. Now we go to verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. I can't hear anything out of these things. I had nothing. You hear anything out of these? No, I just put them on because they look kind of cool. It's like, Zender, man, he's got his earphones on. He's cool. I don't know. I'm not hearing anything out of here. Yes, I'm going to get my hair cut in a few days. I know. Don't talk to me about it, please. Sometimes I think it looks all right. Sometimes not. Here we go. We're in verse 9 of the Unveiling 13. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone has headphones that work, let him apply them. If anyone is for captivity, into captivity he is going. If anyone will be killing with a sword, he must with a sword be killed. Here's the endurance and the faith of the saints. These swords going on. Who was the prophet at Jerusalem on the eighth day when Jesus was dedicated at the temple? Ananias? He said that a sword would pierce Mary's heart. What is it with Israelites and swords? Very disturbing. I hate the swords. I hate razors. I hate anything with blades. Ugh, just give me the creeps. So we're not going to see any of these swords. Leave me out of it. When it comes to bayonets in the Civil War, I'm done. I'll go to lunch. To the bayonets. No, to the Red Lobster. To Chipotle for me, because I can shoot a guy from 1,000 feet away. But you want me to run up to him with a sharp thing and possibly get a sharp thing inserted into my body from him? I'm out to lunch. Nevertheless, here is the endurance and the faith of the saints. Not us. We are saints, but we are not the saints of Israel, are we, ladies and gentlemen? No, we are the saints of the body of Christ. And we're not about swords. In fact, interesting, we're about avoiding swords. What a revelation this is. Oh, listen to this. All these swords. What did they have in the Garden of Gethsemane when they arrested Jesus? Cudgels and swords. Swords. Billy clubs and swords. And the disciples picked up their swords. Jesus said, put away your sword. And then Peter cut the sword of cut the ear off the servant's head with a sword. Here we see swords aplenty. And yet in Romans 13, Paul says to be civil to the civil authorities, because not for vain are they wearing the sword. In other words, didn't quite finish my thought yesterday, maybe. The authority is wearing the sword in order to mete out vengeance to those who disobey their commands. Therefore, when you do the right thing, which is be subject to the superior authorities, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities, Paul says, when you do that, then you will avoid the consequence of going against that authority. And the consequence in the context is the sword. So Paul is telling us to avoid the sword. Another contrast between Paul's evangel and the one we're considering here, which is the evangel of the circumcision. I hardly ever show you this side of me if you're looking on the studio cam, because I think this is my bad side. I think this is my good side. But if you're, because see, what do you think? You can write me and let me know which vote for which side you like. I don't know. I think this one's just a little not quite lined up with the marvel of this side. No, it's the marvel of, no, it's the marvel of this side. I think this is my good side. And I perceived another wild beast ascending out of the land. This is the second wild beast. This is the false prophet, later called. And it had two horns like a lambkin. Of course, like a lambkin. See? It didn't have two horns like Auntie Griselda, or two horns like Maleficent of Disney horror. No, it had two horns like a lambkin, and it talked as a dragon. Horns like a lambkin, talked like a dragon. Words of blasphemy that would still come across as sweet to the ear, I believe. Because eternal torment, that teaching is the talk of a dragon. It's the words of a dragon. Yet, I could tell you the doctrine of eternal torment and make it melodious. I could play a violin while I talk to you about the doctrine of eternal torment. Then the people shall be burned forever. And there you go. And it sounds melodious and nice, and yet it's the words of a dragon. So don't expect the words of a dragon to sound like a dragon, whatever a dragon sounds like. Imagine a dragon sounds something like that. And it is exercising all the authority of the first wild beast in its sight, and making the earth and those dwelling in it to be worshiping the first wild beast whose death blow was cured. And it is doing great signs that it may be causing fire also to descend out of heaven into the earth in the sight of mankind. This is what I was telling you about yesterday with Elijah. This was a legitimate miracle under Elijah. Prophets of Baal could not duplicate it, but God is going to unloose that prohibition. And now the second wild beast, false prophet, is going to be doing this miracle that was impossible before. Thus the warning to not be deceived. Thus the warning that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. But it ain't possible if you're elect. This is the elect of Israel. We don't even have to worry about it because we're not going to be here. Doing great signs, and it is deceiving those dwelling on the earth naturally. Because of the signs which were given it to do in the sight of the wild beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the wild beast, which has the blow of the sword and lives. Keep bringing that up, which has the sword of the blow, the blow of the sword. We got it. Keep bringing it up. Why? Because this is the premier miracle, the premier imitation. And so look, what I'm emphasizing here, the second wild beast is doing the signs which were given it to do, which were given it to you. Paul says in either 1 Corinthians 4:7 or 2 Corinthians 4:7 or 1 Corinthians 4:17 or 2 Corinthians 4:17, what do you have which you did not obtain? What do you have which was not given to you by God? And then this same Paul says in Acts chapter 17, he's at Mars Hill and he says, in him we live and move and are. And then he says, I know King James says have our being, but it's live and move and are. Then he also said, God gives to all life and breath and all. That's interesting. God gives to all life and breath and all. That's interesting because God is going to give life and breath to the image of the wild beast, a miracle conjured up by the false prophet, otherwise known as the second wild beast. God is going to do this. And to prove it, he didn't do it for the prophets of Baal because Baal can't do it legitimately. They can't really bring fire down. It's all black arts. It's a trick, black magic, whatever you want to call it. Black lady played black magic till the sun come home and fell. Bum, bum. That was Cher. She still looks good. Cher does. She has an amazing body. And how old is she? 60-something? 65? I know she's had a lot of work done, but hey, whatever it takes for old Cher. Let me see. Given to it to do in the sight of the wild beast, saying to those dwelling on the earth to make an image to the wild beast, which has the blow of the sword. Yeah. And it was given it to it to give spirit to the image of the wild beast, that the image of the wild beast should be talking also, and should be causing that whoever should not be worshiping the image of the wild beast may be killed. Hello, Nebuchadnezzar. Hello, the plain of Dura. Hello, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to worship the image set up by Nebuchadnezzar, who, when he played the flute, bring, bring, people were supposed to bow down and worship. Same today in the churches. Whenever you hear the music, whenever you hear the psaltery and the guitar and the bass guitar and the harp, then you are to bow down to the image. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. So it's the same today. People are still using music to get you in a mood. And I suppose the people heard that music. It was like, boom, doom, 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 doom. How can you not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar when you hear, oh, man, that'd be rough for me. I would have to be held back by wild donkeys. So it's going to be the same here. There's going to be worship going on of the image, and people will happily do it. And it doesn't say that there is going to be music here involved, but the wild beast and the second wild beast will use every means to get this worship. These means, which will be used by the two beasts, is being used today by Christian churches. They're using everything that attracts the soul, whether it's music or whether it's scents or whether it's smelling things, nice things, or whether it's robes, outfits. Every device will be used that attracts the soul. What did Jesus say? What does he say to these people at this time? Whoever hates his soul and loses it for my sake will gain it. You have to hate your soul, because your soul is going to tell you that it's right. I could give that same advice to people today. You have to hate your soul when it comes to religion, because your soul is going to trick you. Even I, Martin Zender, was at a Catholic church, and it hit me that these people have soul worship down pat. They have the censers, and they wave them, and the holy aroma wafts through the church, and they have the raiments of the priest, and they have the stained glass, and they have the chanting, and it attracts the soul. And I could see the appeal of it. I wasn't going under the trance, oh no, my friends, but I understand the appeal to the soul. But here's the problem. They have to worship the wild beast. It's going to be talking. It'll probably be singing. And the second wild beast should be causing that whoever should not be worshiping the image of the wild beast may be killed. That's where it's going to get dicey and slicey. And it is causing all, small and great, and rich and poor, and free and slaves. This goes along with the sand of the sea, didn't I say? The wild beast comes out of the sand of the sea. Now, and the interpretation of the water of the sea and the sand of the sea is that these are peoples and nations and languages. And now we're reading about causing all, small and great, rich and poor, free and slaves, that an emblem may be given to them. And they will take it, because this is everybody except a very small remnant that is not falling for it. And they're given an emblem. This is the famous, infamous mark of the beast, on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may be able to buy or sell except the one having the emblem of the wild beast or its name or the number of its name. The emblem or the name or the number of its name. You have three choices here. I'm going to get into those three choices with you. Here is wisdom. Let him who has a mind. Do you have a mind? I have a mind. Therefore, let us calculate the number of the wild beast, for it is the number of humanity, and its number is 666. I will explain to you the number 666. The next time I talk to you, I will probably be in Florida. I'm not there now. And we will get into details of this image. We will get into details of the hideous nature of this miracle, because it's an imitation. And of course, we're going to ring like a chamois ray every detail out of here. The number of the beast, the image of the beast, and the worship of the wild beast. It's scary stuff, I know. It's frightening when you think that people are going to go through that. But Paul's Evangel is a modern-day ark that will rescue us out of the coming indignation.